sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobia, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends, though the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, hey, hey. 2021.
Hey, shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up!
Shut up!
You cannot talk!
Épisode 205. Something Sister Soldier said. What is America's beef with the black man? It's the way that you walk. It's the way that you talk. Every brother and sister has got to be a soldier in the war against the black man. They want to keep your mind in a constant state of aggravation. Hey, welcome, bienvenue à un autre épisode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. MrShutUpPodcast.com, a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B, a.k.a. Gaston Lebanon. All right, before I, first let me clean my glasses. You know, I should consider laser eye surgery, but yeah, okay. Before I start the show, I need to inform you listeners that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts. And it's protected by the red, the black, and the green. With the red, black, and the red, blue.
Who's your blood
up in this bitch? Who's your blood up in this bitch? Who's your blood up in this bitch? Who's your blood? I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and black folks who say yes to Big Rube's question,
are you an outcast?
This episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on Sunday, 8:53 p.m. on September 22, 2024. This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record labeled and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. This podcast may not be for you. Continuing with tradition, I'd like to welcome back all you returning listeners. Yes. Welcome to the house of the Lord. And a special shout out to all you new listeners. Yay! Especially if you're here by mistake. All right. Something I like to do before I get fully started, get all warmed up. No, I'm not going to plug all kinds of commercials and things like that. But I am going to help you new listeners get familiar with this podcast. See, what I like to do is I like to break down my episodes into three parts. Parts that I will be referring to as acts. Why? Because chicks dig it. The first act is the intro. Second act is using random thought. And the third act is final thoughts. All right. Usually when I like comment about describe the episode, I'm usually referring to the final thought. But anyways, so in the first act, so far what you've heard is the theme song, the theme to the podcast, followed by me telling you the title of today's episode, followed by some poetry, which both the title and the poetry will all relate, will all come together. It all has something to do with the final thought. And everything after that was greeting, salutation, and a disclaimer about the podcast. And, I try to give a heads up to a certain demographic of people about the kind of podcast that you're listening to, you know? It's like, you might get the idea, all right, this nigga's gonna talk about some hip-hop. And then, yeah. If you found yourself taking offense to being, for me saying, fuck Whitey, then it was intended. It was, yeah, you're the demographic of people who I intended to offend. With that said, another thing I like to do in the intro before I proceed to the second act is read off some quote. All right. The first one is, hold on, let me see. Do I have the author? Okay, yeah. It goes, loneliness is the poverty of the self. Excuse me. Loneliness is the poverty of self. Solitude is the richness of self. Author's name is Mae Sarton. And shout out to Talab AC for blessing my timeline with these amazing quotes. The other quote is, this one is, usually my quotes are about personal growth, but this one is, actually, is I'm going to read three of them, and actually, no, it's also going to relate, excuse me, to the final thoughts. Excuse me. Okay, here we go. It goes, first one is, neutral men are devil's allies. Edwin Hubel Chappé. I think that's how you pronounce his name. Second one goes, I'd rather have intelligent enemy than stupid friends. Than a stupid friend. Now, according to the recent Google search, the author of this quote is David Siqueiros. Yeah. I was told it was an African proverb, but whatever. Yeah, for the sake of my own entertainment, I'm going to pretend it's an African proverb. That the white man stole for himself. No, I don't know. No, okay. So, right now, recent Google search, David Siqueiros. The last quote goes, okay, and this one is from, I know it ain't from Africa. It's from Stephen Covey, and it goes, it takes a great, bear with me, it takes a great deal of character, strength, to apologize quickly out of one's heart rather than out of pity. A person must possess himself and have a deep sense of security in fundamental principles and values in order to genuinely apologize. Stephen Covey. And that's it. That's it for the first act. Let's brace yourself. Let's have an amazing show, all right? Ready? God damn it. Y'all ready? All right, let's do this. Here we go. All right, okay. My headphones are acted up again. It can't be dying. Maybe I was talking too loud. It can't be dying. I just changed the battery. I changed the batteries last week. Yeah. You know, I should really Google whether it's practical for me to be using voice-canceling headphones. Noise-canceling headphones while recording a podcast. All I know, this shit is costing me batteries. All right, okay. First item for news and random thoughts. God damn it. I'm not going to read the article, but by now you've likely probably heard about P. Diddy. P. Diddy ain't doing it no more. Fuck. I wish I had a clever line to say about it. Puffy getting bribed like a bitch to hide that fact. He did some shit. He did some shit he shouldn't have did. Now he writing for that, a.k.a. Tupac. Excuse me, shout out to Tupac. All right, I'm reciting that verse because looks like I think Puffy's going to jail, or he's indicted, whatever. But things aren't looking good for that dude, man. And of course, there was conversation in the barbershop about it. I try to avoid it. you know, the fuckboys are thinking that, oh man, a black man is being persecuted. It's like nah, fucking rapist is being persecuted. The only reason I'm bringing up Puffy, I'm not gonna elaborate on it, you know, there's more details about it. I'm just reciting it for because a few days ago, last week, we celebrated the death anniversary of Pac, and I feel like what's going on to Puffy is karma. I mean, did he really kill Tupac? Was he involved in his death? I don't care, but Tupac didn't like him. I'm thinking of the spirit of Tupac, and I'm spitting on his. I'm being like Tupac right now. Fuck that nigga. Let that nigga go to jail. Direct quote for my Lord and Savior Pac. Yeah, no, You know what? What is there to say? Dude was an abusive human being who hid behind, you know what? No, not just the fact that he's abusive. You know what? Pac is just going on the long list of people who I looked, I won't say looked up to, but who I revered, only to find out that they're fucking disappointments. I mean, shit like that just makes me question life sometimes, man. People who you like, but then again, maybe it's my fault for like J. Cole said, maybe it's my fault for putting these motherfuckers on a pedestal, and then being surprised when they did that. I'm disappointed. Like, I never knew the dude personally, and yet he was like, okay, well, fuck, if I don't get more bitches, I gotta be like Puffy. Not really. Anyways, yeah, and yeah. Okay, that's it. That's it. I got. I ain't got more to say about Diddy. But I am thinking of his song, Diddy Diddy, do the Diddy bop. Step on stage or step in prison, the Diddy stop, the music stop, whatever. Okay, I fucked up that remix. Yeah, that's okay. What else? Okay, finally some news. Okay, did you motherfuckers hear about that shit that went down in Lebanon? Okay, I'm going to summarize, but in links in the show notes. I got all my details information from listening to an episode of the Daily Podcast, and it was titled "The Day Thousands of Pages Exploded in Lebanon." So the story is, you remember Israel, right? So Israel is I'm just gonna the headline is at war with Hamas and also Hezbollah. Hezbollah, right? Pretty much anyone who's got beef with them, they can get it. Pretty much that's the story. And fuck, free Palestine. You know, oh my God. Okay. Anyways, the sake of conversation, Israel is at war, right? And apparently, Israel and Hezbollah have been exchanging missile strikes against each other. But I was under the impression that Hezbollah was like, wasn't that so? But whatever, man. These motherfuckers, they managed to find out that Hezbollah's preferred method of communication were pagers. I mean, I guess it's not that hard. You just torture one of their, or you have a spy in a unit, or you just, whatever, man. They use pagers. I seen The Wire. Okay, so they figured out they have someone. So they find out who they buy these pages from, right? Paid attention to their next order of pagers, intercepted that shipment, put in some fucking bombs. Didn't think it was bombs in the pager, and then put it back on the truck and let it get delivered. And then next thing you know, they they picked the time and they detonated 1,000 pagers, and these guys had it all over the place. Now, it's one thing to attack your enemies, but it's another thing when, because there was a lot of like casualties. Maybe they didn't care, you know. Maybe one guy bought a pager for one company. Like, fuck it, let's not take any chances. Just put the bomb in 1,000 of them. Whatever. I don't know, right? But according to the Daily News podcast, they're not sure what's the military strategy to this. I'm thinking maybe it's just like, yeah, nah. What's up? We threw the first punch, sucker. I mean, threw the punch. What now, bitch? Oh, it's them. What do I know about war? But the point is, this shit happened. Fucking war. But I won't lie, man. I mean, that shit's gotta be under terrorism. Look, it's one thing. Okay, if it was me, if it was my crew, I'm acting like I could run a terrorist organization. Whatever, right? But if I was beefy with another crew, and them motherfuckers did that to us, holy shit, that's fear. I'd be scared. Yo, they would put me, I wouldn't trust my toaster after that point. I mean, that shit's gotta be fucking scary. It's like, they did what? Because I guess that's the point of terrorism, right? And it's the conversation, the Malcolm X referred to violence as a form of as a form of communication, and that's how it goes between the two. It's like, yeah, I'm gonna do something to scare the shit out of you, and hopefully you'll be like, yo, I ain't fucking with these niggas. But then you're fighting people who are like as stubborn as you are. It's like, I ain't no bitch. Great. Now I gotta find revenge. Like, it's one thing to like drop a bomb and you get rid of all your enemies. The war's over. But anyways, I'm not here to question strategy. All I'm saying is that shit's gotta be classified as terror. Even I'm like nervous. Even I'm like, shit's gotta be scared. Watch your mouth what you say about Israel. Fuck. I gotta stop podcasting. Okay, shit's not funny. I mean, if you were like, I imagine like, look, shit is fucked up. That's all I'm just trying to say. It's fucked up. And the only way I can see it, I don't see how this doesn't escalate. I'm thinking of that scene in The Wire when Bodhi had to run off some people off his block. And then his partner, goes, yo, they're going to come back. And Bodhi responds with, the way we punk them, they gots to come back. They gots to retaliate. What I don't get is, maybe I could look it up. But what I don't get is, what's with the attack on the fucking civilians? Why not, you know, if Iran's the, whatever. Okay, I'll stop. The one thing that did scare me about it, this whole shit, and shout out to the internet, because there's no such thing as independent thought, is because I was looking at a YouTube clip. Maybe I'll try to remember to put it in the show notes. I was watching this YouTube clip about how the because YouTube proposed, say, this is how Israel put the bomb in a pager. And apparently holy fuck, you know, in your pagers, there's like two AA batteries, and one of the AA batteries was the bomb. And I guess one of the batteries were a bomb, right? And it hit me. It's like, can one of those pagers get on a plane? Can someone bring one of those pagers on a plane? And of course, someone on the internet asked the question. And this is what's scary, man. Apparently, fuck. Someone said, using the TSA is not your standard of, like, the idea is because, you know, they sent 1,000 pagers out there. What if one of these guys, like, I'm going to go on a plane trip to somewhere wearing their pager and they're like, beep, 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 beep. Sorry, sir. Oh, no, that's right. You're not allowed to wear you. It would be in the X-ray machine, right? Like, would that shit been detected? Okay. Can those batteries go through airport security? If so, then fuck it. It's going to be a while since I fly. That shit is scary. Fucking scary. Then again, maybe there's other things that could kill me. There's other weapons. These crazy people out there, these warmongers all over the world, have figured out. And they're just waiting for the right opportunity. Keep talking shit. Keep talking shit. We're going to surprise you. Ha ha. We put poison in the Kool-Aid. Ha 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 ha. I guess this is where I make a racist joke. We put poison in the fried chicken. And then. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Yeah. That's it. That I ain't got much to say. I'm just scary. Scary world, man. What else did I have in mind? Speaking of fine beverages, I recently, shout out to my homeboy, Jay Litt. I'm not using his government name. his government, Jay Litt, he spent some time in the United States and brought back, I asked him to, he did me a solid and brought me back a bottle of Uncle Nearest fine beverage, and goddamn, that shit was good. Uncle Nearest. Let me give you a specific Uncle Nearest. That's the bro's last name. Okay. Oh, yeah. So there's two kinds. And homie hooked me up with the 100 proof. Oh, there's more than one? Are you of legal drinking age? Yeah. All right. So it's the one with the... Oh, wow. There's several products. I thought there was only two. So the one I got is... I'm not going to pick it up. Sorry, I've just seen a... Okay, I'm not playing this 10-minute clip. The point is, Uncle Nearest is the owner of that particular bourbon. Or is it whiskey or bourbon? I mean, sure it's whiskey. Whatever. He's black. That's the point. Supporting black businesses. It's not just about supporting black businesses. It's supporting fucking successful ones, the good ones. This shit is good. That's my point. That's, I won't lie, man. When I heard it was black owned, I'm like, what do niggas know about making whiskey? Fuck, that's a white man trait. And I tried it, and damn, if I can, I will get myself a personal collection of that shit. Yes, consider this an endorsement. No, I am not. I'm not paid to advertise for them, but I support. I believe in supporting black businesses, especially the ones who are doing good. Uncle Nears. Oh, another point I wanted to make is part of living in Canada is having to drive to the States, travel to the States to get all this good shit, especially if it's black owned. Now, the whiskey is available in Canada, but not in my goddamn city. That's, again, part of living in Ottawa is, as a black person, is exactly this shit. Is you finding out, oh, wait, what? Black owned? Of course it's not available in Ottawa. It's like they purposely, like, they did the test. It's like when they import anything that comes into Ottawa, it's like, whoa. This smells like Cocoa Butter. This smells like a black people's hand, like a black person made it. Yes, it does. Well, send it back. Send it to Toronto or Montreal. But it won't be in this goddamn city. And yeah, Uncle Nearest. Ask your parents for a taste, kids. All right, okay. Yes, I'm encouraging kids to drink. Sorry, I'm making a note that I just talked about Uncle Nearest, so it could be in my notes. All right, okay. You know what happened to me this week? There I was, I was in the Walmart, minding my own business. I'm catching up. I saw a friend that I hadn't seen in a while. Ain't that a bitch? You know you're getting old where you're like catching up with old friends in a fucking Walmart. Not a club, not a party, not a networking event, a fucking Walmart. Anyways, we're just chatting, minding each other's black businesses. And we noticed this white guy who, this was supposed to be a game of guess the race, but doesn't matter. I ruined it. So we noticed this white guy passing with a service dog, and he walks and he's looking at us weird. Fine. And my homie, he was the first one. He goes, "Hey, you okay?" That was translation is, "You got a problem?" He goes, "You okay?" So we're concerned, and I'm looking at him. He goes, and he looks at me directly. He says, "You remind me of someone. You kind of look like someone, but he's like a bad person." I'm like, "What the fuck? Aren't we off to a bad start?" His name is Mark David. I'm like, "What?" And then I'm paying attention, and he says, "Yeah, man." I go, joking. I said, "So you're saying I remind you of someone? So you saying you thought I was a bad person?" He goes, no. He goes, he's bad. I don't know. You might know him. No, first I established I wasn't who he was looking for. And then he's like, "Do you think you might know him?" Only to realize, brace yourself, this motherfucker, this fucking cave boy, literally cave boy, is like, "Yeah, he wants to bring back slavery, and he calls himself a black Nazi." I'm like, oh. Because my friend had no idea what the fuck he was talking about. But because I listened to it, he goes, "This asshole thinks I'm Mark Robinson. Thought I was Mark Robinson." It's kind of funny, but it's kind of angry. You know that scene in Do the Right Thing? Again, if you haven't seen Do the Right Thing and you're listening to this podcast, there's a problem. So that scene in Do the Right Thing, when this white boy, he's in Brooklyn, right, minding his black business, and this white boy bumps into him and steps on his brand new Jordans. They didn't call them J's back then. They called them Jordans, right? So he scuffs up, leaves the stains on it, and just walks away, and then bugging out, loses his mind, and he walks, goes, "Ay! Ay!" And he runs towards the white guy, and then an exchange happened. He goes, "I should fuck you up 2 times. That's how I felt in that Walmart. I should fuck you up 3 times. 3 times, white boy. But he had to serve you and your service dog. But something told me he wasn't all there. This is me trying to justify the fact that I didn't fight. I mean, come on, I'm a grown ass. But like, I didn't fight the dude. But I was offended. And this dude persists on talking our ears off. And I'm like, hey, bro, me and him are trying to catch up to you. I'm like, oh, well, yeah, I'm sorry. And then he walks away. And my friend's like, glad you did that. But wait a minute. I just realized some of you have no idea who Mark Robinson is. It doesn't matter. You probably saved yourself. But the one thing out of this whole Mark Robinson. Okay, I'm going to play a clip. Okay, maybe this one might help you about Mark. What you need to know about Mark Robinson. But the one thing I will bring up. So, Mark Robinson is a government nominee in the United States, a black politician, and he's racist as fuck. I mean, by race, I mean like Uncle Ruckus next level. And he's homie with Trump. And so scandal came out that this dude, it's actually kind of a funny story, which is why it's more offensive. Sorry, I'm just laughing. This motherfucker thought I was working. Fucking white people. Anyways. Sorry, okay, focus me. The story came out that this dude has a habit of going on a porn site called Nude Africa. You know what? For the sake of research, let me Google it myself. Because, you know, they might have the wrong name. Nude Africa. And, oh, there it is. Okay, I'm not going to click on the Pornhub link because, you know, when I was at work, I was going to Google this shit. I'm like, oh, the site's down. Oh, wait a minute. Is it because my, oh, it doesn't matter. Whatever. Whatever. Sorry, gang. I cannot give you the quality. There's a Pornhub link, but I'm not clicking on that shit. What am I, stupid? Anyway, so, links will not be in the show notes for that one. Yeah, so the word is, apparently this dude has a habit of going on the fucking porn site. There's not even just the porn site, the message board of a porn site called Youth Africa to spit out his, like, not Reddit, why the 4chan, 8chan, one of them fucking chans. No, this dude goes on Africa. Maybe it's because he goes, no one's going to find me here. Or maybe he's just fucked in the head. But, yeah, and he was saying some fucked up shit it's interesting. You present yourself one way and you, he bring back slavery. You know, black people like him who say shit like, yo, I wish we could bring back slavery. I know there's a lot of black dudes. I should say black folk, but black dudes. I know for a fact there are black dudes out there who the only reason they hated slavery, at the core of the reason for hating slavery was simply the fact they couldn't participate as owners. If it wasn't for that, they would have been like, fuck that. Wave that Confederate flag. Robert E. Lee is mine. Jesus. Fuck you, Lincoln. Get your hands off my slaves. Anyways, yeah, so, he wanted to bring back slavery, and he's a black Nazi. He's a deplorable human being. Awful, man. I'm talking worse than Drake. Sorry, I didn't mean to diss Drake like that, but I was thinking about the hatred that Kendrick expressed towards Drake. It's like, especially the disgust for the kind of human being he is. Yeah, that's Mark Robinson. And this cracker-ass cracker with a service dog thought I was him. Anyways. Right. Okay, before I'm going to wrap this up, the Mark Robinson segment with this clip by this. I like to play clips by people who I feel are smarter than me. And they express, I like what he says about them. So here we go.
So the Mark Robinson story finally came out, and it's nuts. Like, he's clearly a wacko, right? But he's a wacko who got the favor of Donald Trump. Uh-huh. And that brings us to a larger point here. Look at how easy it is for crazy people to get something from Trump. You see, Mark Robinson has been gum under the table for a long time. Mm. Like, you can ask the Republicans in North Carolina and they'll tell you that this guy's just been a complete total basket case. But the reality is, Mark wanted to become governor. So he felt like the best opportunity for him to get past the Republican primary is to get the Trump endorsement. So what does he do? He sucks on Trump's thumb. Trump loves it. Mm-hmm. He gives him the endorsement and he wins the Republican primary. The formula's pretty simple. If you flatter Trump, he will give you something. He's easy to manipulate. And that is exactly why he's dangerous. It's why people like Putin do everything they can to stoke his ego, right? Viktor Orban, Bolsonaro, all these people who are right-wingers, crazy authoritarians, know that if they go and tickle his little fingers, Trump, like a kid in a candy store, will do something for them. Dictators want him because they know when they flatter him, they get something. Crazy people who run for office want him because they know when they flatter him, they get something. He will sell out our country because they will make him giggle. So if Mark Robinson, who's a political novice, we all can agree on that, can manipulate Trump to give him his endorsement and not only get the endorsement, but get Trump on stage to call him the reincarnation of MLK, wow. What do you think people like Putin will do to him? Trump is a Lunchable.
He's a Lunchable, yes. I love that line by Kamala Harris when she said, Putin will eat your lunch. Yo, she showed it. I remember in a past episode, I talked about how, I don't know if you've seen the debate. If not, you should have. Between the two. from the get, out of the gate, she's like, yeah, I'm going to do something I don't usually do. And she disses Trump to say, like, you know, yo, his shows are whack. His rallies are whack. People leave. People are bored. And I'm like, I'm laughing. I'm like, I mean, that's a jab, right? He's not going to fall for it, right? In full display on camera, this dude was like, whoa, before I answer the question about the economy or answer question that will help me win this debate, I need to address what this bitch said about my rallies. People don't leave my rallies. They leave your rallies. I'm looking at this dude going, he fell for that so fucking easily? Are you kidding? If she can do that so easily, imagine what all these world leaders, all they got to do is, you know, tickle his booty holes. Oh, my God. I bet you get bitches, Trump. Yeah, I do. So what do you want? Nuclear codes? Who do you want? It's like that saying says that I read earlier, man. I'd rather have a smart enemy than dumb friend. Trump is that dumb friend. Oh, fuck. Seriously, Americans elect them. You know what? Fuck. If Americans elect Trump, I honestly need to be like qui sera sera when it comes to this election. If these idiots allow this dude to win, if they to get one on them and win this election, all you dumb motherfuckers are like, voting doesn't matter. You're an idiot. If he wins this election, you deserve what you get. I mean, wow. If that's not enough of a sign, I mean, sure, grandma the pussy should have been there. But if that's not how people can easily play this guy, he ain't no leader. Oh, man. It reminds me when I was growing up in church. You know what? Oh, no, I'm not going to share that story. It just goes on the long lines of, you know, being disappointed by people. People who make themselves out to be, like, great and then, but you can see their weakness. Like, this is, like, beyond. This is worse than, The Wire. again, if you haven't seen The Wire and you're listening to this podcast, there's a problem, right? The Wire, I make frequent reference to The Wire. All right, when Michael was questioning, what the fuck's wrong with Marlo? Who cares if people are calling him a bitch? He ain't no, if people are saying he sucked dick, he don't suck dick. The fact that he saw that, yo, his insecurity is an issue, is a weakness, is a problem. Sorry, my headphones acted up again. Yeah, it's a problem. That shit is weak. What did Sosa say? With Chivato's working like that, his judgment stinks. Yeah. Trump is a Chivato, whatever that means. All right. His judgment stinks. That's my point. But yeah, that's it for Mark Robinson. Okay. You know, I'm just realizing I'm making a lot of reference to American politicians. Last week, but whatever. It's my goddamn podcast. All right. My reason for loving Representative Jasmine Crockett. All right. I'm just going to play this clip. And
the only reason we're having this hearing is because somebody got their feelings.
Okay. I'm going to play this clip and then let it continue. Here we go. Let's restart this thing.
The only reason we're having this hearing is because somebody got their feelings hurt in a debate. And I don't understand why we're wasting taxpayer dollars. Next time, tell your big boy to show up and be ready to handle the woman in the room who hopefully will become the next president of the United States. Whoa. Nevertheless, while we do have two amazing authors from Project 2025, which it seems like everybody got the memo, like, yes, I'm a double down and say it's my thing, but I'm gonna make sure I also say that it ain't our homeboy's thing, because we know that it doesn't poll very well with the American people. Because the American people are woke enough to recognize that there is nothing good in it for them. And the final thing that I will say is that this election, I didn't ask you a question. The final thing that I will say is that this election is the best example of why y'all are so afraid of diversity, equity, and inclusion. Because then you can't have a simple-minded, underqualified white man somehow end up ascending. Instead, you've got to pay attention to the qualified black woman that is on the other side. And with that, I will yield.
You hear that shit? Badass. Oh my God. But okay, that's not just the reason I love this woman. She's at work talking to white people like that. See, the difference between me and her, there's a boldness that I admire in this woman. There's a courage. When I'm at work, I mean, my white voice ain't that bad, but I don't express myself. She's like, there's a courage in being, this is who I am. She speaks the same way she speaks with. The way she expresses herself, she speaks the way she doesn't tone it down. She this is who I am. Let me put it this way. I admire any human being who can step out to this world with a strong sense of self and broadcast it to the world. This is me. Deal with me. As opposed to, okay, let me be accommodating and shit like that and things like, okay, not to diss that behavior, but I'm admiring how she presents herself in this place. Look, I was looking, there's this clip, I forget who the fuck their name is, but you know, guess the race. Basically, they were attacking her. And of course, what they poke fun of, her mannerism, the way she speaks, but they exaggerated. I mean, like, I'm Shaniqua, blah, 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 you know, and stuff like that. And I remember getting mad, but I was also being like, hey, Jasmine, in my mind thinking, yeah, Jasmine, maybe tone it down so white people don't attack you for being who the fuck you are. I remember catching myself saying that. I'm being like, nah, fuck them. Good, because that's the only way they can attack her. Oh, she speaks like this. She doesn't speak like an authentic white person. Anyways, I'm just nothing but admiration for this woman, a black woman at that. You know, this is not uncommon in my life where it's a black woman who sets the stage on. What, but basically, that's leading. That's leadership right there. I don't have the guts to do it. I mean, I'm slowly settling in, but it would be. I have dreams of being in an office space, and just talking exactly like I do. I mean, I kind of do a little bit, but I still feel people out a bit. But and whatever, man. Shout out to her. And it's not just this is me, but it's like. She's qualified. You can't take away from that. I remember what Chris Rock said about Obama. White people think we're only voting for Obama because he's black. Nah. He's voting because he's black and qualified and running around. And yeah. Shout out to her. Okay. I forget that I have more to talk about. So last point on, shit. Okay. You know what? Okay. I'm going to skip this one just because I'm looking at the time. I will save this one for another episode. Okay, I'll tell you what, I'll put it in the show notes, but I will save it for another episode. And it's titled, oh, goddamn. I was trying to copy and paste the title. I deleted it. And I pasted the URL for You to Africa. It's like, oh, wait, how did that happen? Me, you make yourself laugh. Okay. All right. Okay. Now it's time for, just let me rearrange this link. Okay. Funny people being not being nice people. Yeah, I'm going to save that for another, for the next episode. Okay. All right. So this concludes Using Random Thoughts. Let's jump to the final app. But before I do so, you need to hear this. Yeah. I am, what's the name of that show that I'm looking on? I'm watching some anime on I think I'm trying to make myself sound cool. No, honestly, not, okay, there's a show on, I'm watching a lot of shit on Netflix lately, and I'm kind of impressed, but I'm watching this thing called Gundam Seed, and it's reminding me of my old days when I used to watch Goldorak as a kid. It's kind of, yeah, it's fun. Sci-fi anime, that's all it is, yeah. Gundam, that's a mobile suit Gundam. That's how you pronounce it? Gundam Seed. Gundam, man, wow. That translation wasn't really that well, but anyways, okay. All right, news and rent. Oh my God, I mean, final thoughts. Final thoughts. Okay, let's, again, my thoughts are not organized, so I'm winging it here. Let me just start with what's up with today's title. Something that Sister Soulja said. Okay, first of all, something that Sister Soulja said whenever, it's a thing I do on this show, whenever sometimes I'll find something from a content creator or a content creator online on the social media, and I'll say something, it could be a clip, it could be whatever, they'll say a message that I find impressive, and instead of, and sometimes when it doesn't have a title for it, instead of saying, yeah, I'll just say something that blank name of the content creator said. It's my way of saying I'm sharing this because they said something interesting. All right. It's just a pattern on this show. Right. And, but in this particular case, I find myself reflecting on the words of Sister Soulja, but to be more specific, on the track Buck Wilding on the Terminator X album. It's called Buck Wilding, the Terminator X album. So let me load this thing up. First, I got to come. Okay. Sister Soulja. Yeah. Buck Wilding, Terminator X on the album Terminator X, The Valley of the Jeep Beats. When did that come out? 91? Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. And Buck Wilding is the first single of the Terminator X debut album, Terminator X, The Valley of the Jeep Beats. The song peaked at number 7 on the Billboard Hot Rap Single chart. That shit was on the Billboard? Well, who doesn't fuck? Now, I don't know, but I think this track was also my introduction to Sister Soulja. And, okay, the reason I was thinking about the words of Sister Soulja, not this one.
We are at war!
I was thinking, yeah, it was that was powerful. I mean, actually, it's all of them. All of them. I'm thinking about everything she said on the Buck Wilding album. I take it back. It was We Are at War. But everything else, I'll tell you what. I'll recite it, and then it'll probably make more sense. Okay, so on the song, she starts out with, "We are at war. Black man, where is your heart? The black man is so strong, there's no reason we can't win. Everybody's going to have to get serious." And then Chuck D rhymes, and then at some point, and then after, Sister Soulja comes back and goes, "What is America's beef with the black man? It's the way that you walk. It's the way that you talk." Does that sound familiar? "Every brother and sister has got to be a soldier in the war against the black man. They want to keep your mind in a constant state of aggravation." And then he goes on, and Chuck D rhymes, and then she comes back. She goes, "Sister Soulja speaking. Sisters say, where are the good black men? They're missing in action because we are at war, war, war." And then after he rhymes, and then she comes back, she says, "If the truth hurts, then you'll be in pain. If the truth drives you crazy, you'll be insane. The laws are designed so that the black man as a collective cannot get paid. As I told you before, we are at war." And then finally, she ends the songs with, "You can't declare war on the black man without declaring war on me. I'm Sister Soldier. I'm out of here. 5,000. All right. For you kids out there, 5,000 was our way of saying peace out. I'm out. Audi 5,000. You know what? Ask your parents or possibly your grandparents. How old is the demographic of people listening to this podcast? All right. Okay. Why was I listening? Why was I reflecting on the words of Sister Soldier? Because, first of all, let me go with my pattern. I found myself thinking. So on the last episode, I was talking about the whole James and Fuad and appearing on the Andrew Schultz incident. Not controversy, incident, right? Basically, these brothers fucked up. It's not, okay, these brothers fucked up by showing on this dude's show. And I found myself thinking a lot about, well, okay, yeah, before I get to it, the whole idea of giving these guys, like I mentioned on the last episode, I was focused on the apology. I didn't have any context to it. I was focused on the apology, and I actually believed I was watching two brothers holding themselves. Actually, I still do. I'm gonna hold up. Holding themselves accountable for fucking up, for what they did with Andrew Schultz. Now, there's two clips I can play. You know what? I'll let you go in the show notes to you can hear it yourself. But I've been heavily influenced by these clips. But so they mentioned how, yo, fight or flight. We didn't mean to say what we meant, what we said. We were fucked up. But it's like I bought into it. I did believe that. They were holding themselves accountable, but turns out these guys were doing damage control. And Andrew Schultz threw these niggas off under the bus, like the scorpion that he is. You know, let me back. Yeah, no, like the scorpion that he is, or the white boy that he is, and pretty much said, well, from his position, he's like, yo, these niggas are calling me racist. That's bad for business. So he clashed back with, hey, these dudes came on my show. And their producers after the show asked me to, their producers said, hey, can you delete some of these clips, some of these stuff from the show? Basically, they had the options to delete the segment. And they said they made some requests to delete some parts, but the one thing they did not ask me to delete was the part about the black women, about how they dissed the black women. He goes, essentially, it was his way of saying, like, flight or fight my ass, flight or flight my ass. They had the option to delete it. They didn't. So essentially confirming that these guys waited for people to be like, hey, what you did was fucked up, to then be like, hey, you know. Now, I say all this because getting back, there's a lot of like setup here. I say all this because on the last episode, I was way more focused. I was way more focused on what they did, their mishaps. I was way more focused on, less on their mishap, but more on how this is something, on identifying with their mishaps. Meaning, this is something I could picture. This is a mistake I could picture myself doing. I was way more focused on that. Like, I was imagining the situation. I kept seeing myself in their shoes. I could picture myself feeling defensive. People attacking me. It's like a black man. You niggas ain't shit. And, you know, and all that. And I was feeling myself even getting defensive at it. But I was more like wallowing in that feeling of, damn, I'm a disappointment. I was more reflecting on that than reflecting on why people are disappointed in them. And the way it came to me is, I was thinking about, again, because I do a lot of thinking, right? It's one of my podcasts is talk about my feelings and my thoughts. So first, I found myself reflecting on why exactly, what's this hatred for Andrew Schultz be? He is what he is. Why exactly are you angry at this dude? Why you, what's this hatred for this dude? And the reality is not him in particular. It's the type. It's the, it's, well, one is how he reminded me of pretty much the majority of the white man surrounded in my life. And they were like, I've been in situations, they were like, hey, come on, okay, come on. You're not one of those black people who think, you know, black women are queens, right? So stupid shit like that. It was always under, and it was always disguised as a joke. And of course, you're looking around, I'm like, you know what? I don't want to look like that, you know, like I'm being too sensitive. It's always the need to, the need to fit in with people like that. Like when you don't, okay, it goes back to, if you don't stand for nothing, you'll fall for anything. It's because I didn't have a sense of self. It's like, see, it's interesting. It's because you would think black people are like the trendsetters. White people are trying to be like us. But there are moments where, as a man, you're like, white men do shit that, oh, I feel the need to imitate. Like I said, those of you who aren't familiar, who haven't heard me say it, so it doesn't matter. But I remember growing up where people like Donald Trump was a role model. Because I'm a teen, I'm a boy, there was a vacuum. Well, I mean, the only role models I had were a bunch of fucking losers that went to church. Bunch of black, you know, basically there was a vacuum of people for me to look up to. So, of course, the toxic people, there's a lot of like white males. It's not the fact that they were white, it's more the fact that they were toxic that I was looking up to. Fuck. Sylvester Stallone. Mr. Yeah, this is where we got our cues about masculinity. And anyways, I found myself realizing that, yo, the anger about Andrew Schultz is less about who he is, who he is. No need to change that. It was more how not recognizing that there was a part of you that wishes you were him. And then I have to catch myself and realizing that, no, you don't want to be like him. I'm funny guy, jokes, everything is a joke to me, nothing is serious. Like, he is Mr. I'm neutral. I don't give a fuck what's going on out there. Okay, this is where really all this happened, right? This is where I finally realized, where I recognized what my issue with Andrew Schultz is. I was listening to a clip of Patrice O'Neill, the great comedian, late great comedian Patrice O'Neill, and he was just a joke about, it didn't show who he was talking with, but it was him describing in like less than a minute the movie Scarface, and of course Patrice O'Neill just being funny, but it reminded me of, all right, Patrice O'Neill, great comedian, legendary, and everything like that. The thing that bothered me about him, about him, was the fact that, sure, he was a black comedian, but white boys loved him. Because he's like, he spoke for them. He's like, Patrice O'Neill is, I've heard him on the Opie and Anthony show, and basically the white dudes he hung out were a bunch of Andrew Schultz. I don't know if you've seen that clip of Chris Rock surrounded by, I'm forgetting all these white, Seinfeld was there. Who's that dude who jerked off, I'm really blanking on his name. We'll come back. Rick Gervais clip of, his name is going to come back. It doesn't matter. All right. But it's a clip of Chris Rock surrounded by white dudes, and he's just laughing at them as they drop the N-word. He's acting like a nigger. I can't do, you know, here's the, and he can say, you're the most niggerish shit I've ever. You're the most niggerish white man, some shit like that, right? Fuck, it's driving me nuts. Okay, I'm just going to put, you know what's funny is if I put white comedians, he'll pop up. White comedians. And shout out to those of you yelling at the top of your lungs, because you know who I'm talking about. White comedian. He's on the list. Oh, he's not on the list anymore. There we go. Let's go some Chris Dano Estes. There we go. Luke with CK Tabarnak. It's killing me. All right. Andrew Schultz, Louis C.K., Joe Rogan. I don't know. Apparently Joe Rogan's a comedian, but they're all in a category of white comedians who are like, anything's funny, including the shit that's painful to you, black people. Not to me, but to you. When I think of white comedians, I think of, or white comedy, I still remember where a lot of how much the history, the context, the history of white people taking pleasures, being delighted by our pain. Remember, there was a time in the United States where a lynching of a black man was a picnic event, was a form of fucking entertainment. Fast forward to now, it's like, oh no, we're better people than now. I don't see it. Fast forward to now, I remember growing up and surrounded by white people who have oblivious, who are like, I don't know why this nigger takes offense to a word, just a word, because they have no context of history of or whatever. That I don't know why this nigger's offended by a word. It's only six letters, N-I-G-G-E-R. Yeah, six letters. I don't, you know, surrounded by that, but for them, it's like they were always looking for an opportunity to fit in a black joke or find a creative way to use the N-word. It bothered me. It didn't kill me, but it bothered me. But I remember feeling like this is our relationship between part of being with white people is tolerating the fact that they're gonna stand on your feet and you gotta laugh at it with them. That's entertainment for them. I've always looked at it that way. So that's the other hatred of the Andrew Schultz of the world. It's like how insensitive they are to, like, to them. Hey, being able to say do shit that causes you harm or that causes you psychological distress is equivalent to, I think I get it, right? Some people are bothered by using cuss words. You know, this podcast, we say fuck. We say a lot of cuss words. But there's some people that bothers them. And honestly, and I get that. I don't actually have respect for those people. But you know, okay. But let me put it this way. That's interesting. If I'm around someone who, like, I stay away from people who, like, don't like. If I'm at work, I've sometimes used cuss words at work, but I catch myself. I'm like, if someone were to say, "Hey, it bothers me when you use that filth," fine, because I'm at work. But if I'm on my personal space, if I get a motherfucking email from someone saying, "Hey, it bothers me when you curse on your podcast," fuck you. Next time, tell them I said, "Suck my dick." This is me trying to imitate Eddie Murphy imitating Richard Pryor, Richard Pryor imitating Bill Cosby. Wow, that was complicated. All right, but yeah, no, it's there's a thing with white people. I guess it's this history of white people taking delight in our being insensitive to our pain. Remember, there was a time where it was legal to own us. Of course, a slave owner doesn't give a fuck about what the fuck is. Hey, it's barking again. Of course, you know what I mean? Like an insect. That's what we were to them. Like that instinct, like farm animals to these people. this insensitivity, and hasn't gone away. That's what I they're them being insensitive to our pain. That's how I see it. It's that tradition. It's not the same. I mean, yeah, but I don't feel you've learned from. Look, here's the reality about the relationship between black and white people. White people have this, like, our humanity is always an option to them. It's optional. I'm not calling you nigger because I don't feel like calling you a nigger today. I'm not being or saying something racist because I don't feel like it. Like, it's always an option. Sure, there's consequences every once in a while, but in a white supremacy world? Wow, that was a long ass setup. Okay, I say all this shit. Yeah, it used to bother me, like all these shitty comics that I hate, white comics that I hated, reference Patrice O'Neill. And it was a tug of, maybe Patrice O'Neill wanted it this way. Good for him. But it was like a tug of war. I felt like, nah, he was for us. And they're like, nah, he was for us. But finally, fast forward, Patrice O'Neill did have the habit of making jokes like that with these white boys and about black women. And they would bond over that. Now, it's one thing to make jokes that even black women find funny, but it's the ones that they don't find funny. And he's like, well, it's not my fault you bitches don't have a sense of humor. Finally, bringing me back to James and Fuad. What makes what they did egregious? Now, again, I can still see myself in their shoes making that same mistake. That's the thing, is all you can hope for is they learn from this. They can learn from it. But needless to say, I've learned from this situation, from their mistake. And it reinforced the idea of, see, the thing is, when I, so again, right, this is the note that I made myself about while I was reflecting on why exactly is Andrew Schultz bothered me. And it reminded me, men like Andrew Schultz are not people you make as me, as a black man. The kind of black man that I am, you don't make friends with someone like that. You work with them. Maybe you partner with them. You know, if make sure you know what the fuck, and like, it's a transactional. If I'm interacting with you, it's because I'm expecting a specific output. But you don't bring this motherfucker home to your family. Why? Because exactly what he just did. Like, someone used a comparison of, might have been Rob from the Black Guy Who Tips, about the relationship between the scorpion and the frog. Scorpion's going to be a fucking scorpion. Schultz is in a category of human beings that I can't fuck with. But I had to be like an adult. I had to be this age to realize that. See, as you get older, you realize that, yeah, you can't be friends with everyone. Doesn't mean you hate them. Doesn't mean you wish them ill. Doesn't mean they're your enemies. But especially someone like me, the holy, highly sensitive and the kind of personality that I have to be a hella selective of the people that I allow in my circle. Don't take it personally if you're out of it. It's just, shout out to people who understand this shit already, right? But very selective of who I allow in my circle. Now, the biggest mistake for me, if they were talking to me as two brothers, I'd go easy on them. I'm just like, yo, dude, first, stop podcasting. Take the time to understand why people are mad at you. What fuck do I know? I mean, they got business. I mean, I'm sure they got commercial people. Hey, man, we got to sell these vacuum cleaners on your podcast. Get back on stage and dance for us, monkey. But anyways, yeah, if they were like my brothers, my younger brothers, or whatever, if they were brothers, if we had that kind of relationship, I'd explain to them the reasons what you did is fucked up. And this is how I'd explain in my word, is because black women are the greatest, if not only, the biggest, the greatest ally to black men, to black people. As a whole, they've been on the forefront. They like imagine this. Imagine this shit, right? Imagine like that boat. That ride on the slave ship. I mean, I guess it's too late to think about this, but it's like you're stuck in there. They had men on one end, women on the other end, and it's like emasculated beyond the point. The white man made sure to teach these women. It's like, these motherfuckers, your men cannot save you, cannot help you. They've had to deal with that. They're on their own. And the thing is, this is where Sister Soldier comes up. That last line where she says, you can't declare war on the black man without declaring war on me. The black women I grew up with, or that I knew, that was their mindset. I think my life started to make more sense when I looked at it as, when I started to reflect that I am at war with white supremacy. Fuck what you heard, folks. Black people, people of color, whatever, but I'm speaking of black people. We are at war with white supremacy. The clever thing, like, these motherfuckers are like, if they could, they're like putting out pagers with bombs in it. But the thing is, they're picking us off. It's picking us off at a rate where it's not alarming. Where we're like, oh shit, we gotta get together. Fuck, bring back this Alin. It's enough to convince you like everything's okay. What happened to George Floyd was not a fucking accident. It's the system working. It's the feature. All these shootings, these police shootings, if you look at white supremacy as a system, it's fucking working. We're supposed to be victims. There's a chance. I remember this is interesting. I remember making that comment on Facebook about how, because there was so many police killing, and I commented on the idea of, wow, on the 6 million ways to die, 6 million one is traffic stop. Stop at a traffic stop by the wrong cop. And one of my punk-ass friends, it annoyed me that they replied, like, this shit won't happen in Canada. Missing the fucking point of what I was trying to say. That's unlikely to happen in Canada. You know what? I nearly argued with them about it, but you know what? You're missing the point. White supremacy is like, in addition to all the cancers of the world, that's our cancer. It's another affliction. You're born black. We're at war. And there's been a war that's been declared on you without even knowing, and it's called white supremacy. By looking at it that way, a lot of my friendship, it's like, a lot of my partnership, friendship comes down to, if you're not also fighting against white supremacy, if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem. People like Andrew Schultz, who gives a fuck? Andrew, white supremacy is benefiting me. He has no reason to fight it. He's no ally against white supremacy. But Charlemagne the God. Yeah, Charlemagne the God is in the category of black men like Mark Robinson. It's like, the only reason I hated slavery is because it's basically people who are like, who born into this world, and I have the only person I'm responsible for is my own damn self. Fuck the community. I am my own community. Maybe, you know what? Maybe he's got his own people, whatever. But what I'm trying to say is, there's a few of us who grew up with this, who grew up with the notion that an injustice to others is an injustice to me. I'm like, I'd rather be in that category of people. So with that said, James and Fuwa, when you were on that show with Andrew Schultz, a dude who's got no reason to fight white supremacy, and you're joking with them. It's like you're laughing with the enemy. Now, James Fuad, Patrice O'Neill, I get bonding with other men. I get that. Bonding with other men, yeah, fucker. Bitches, am I right? And ladies, right? I go to the barbershop, and I get that. I get the appeal of wanting to, white guy, we something we have in common. Especially if you're in a relationship, it's like, yeah, hey, fuck, my wife is getting on my nerves too, blah, whatever. You know, you bond with that as like, hey, me too, I'm not getting any pussy. All right, high five. I understand that. But it's a mistake to believe that black women as a collective, when it comes to allyship, it'd be a mistake to believe that white men are a greater, that white boy is a greater ally than black women. It's a fucking mistake. Black women get it. It's as if they're more, I'll even say it, they're more conscious of the war against white supremacy than the average black man. The average black man is trying to fight, hey, wait, how come we're not leading? Wait, how come I'm not head of that? That's what our fight is. How come we're not the head of the family? How come I got to take orders from you? It's like we lost fucking focus on this fucking war on... We lost our eyes. The eyes is not on the prize. It's like a lot of us are way too distracted. But black women... That's why it... when you see... that's why it bothers them. It's like... This asshole, they forgot the war on our... It was a reminder of how they're on their own. You can't declare war on the black man without declaring war on me. Black women as a collective, that's been their thinking. It's like, yo, you got beef with them, you got beef with us. Us on the... for us, it's like, yeah, sure. We'll use violence. That's all we bring to the tape. Violence. It's like, yeah, we'll fight someone, but since we have nothing to fight, we're going to fight with you. I think I'm just trying to say is our sisters deserve better. What I hate about me saying that is the fact that someone out there is interpreting that as, oh, you're just pandering. You're missing the fucking point. I think there's a clip of this brother explaining how I forget the clip, but long story short is it's not for black women to explain to these guys what they did wrong. No, we got to get together and explain it. Come together and explain. And if we can't come together as black men, you know what? As men, if we can't come together on that subject, the reason I said as I changed from black men, I said men from black men is because I'm realizing that there's some white people who are, things have been changing. There's some white people who get it, who understand that white supremacy is an attack on humanity. And during that fight, that's what I'm trying to get at is like, it's a human trait to be like, hey, an injustice to one is an injustice to all of us. That's my chosen family. People who see the world that way. Time goes by, an eye for an eye. We end this together, son. Your beef is mine. I actually resent people like the Andrew Schultz of the world who are like I don't like Republicans. It's only a problem until it becomes a problem for them. I don't know him personally, but yeah, whatever. But I'm just saying, when the guy he represents to me is, yo, fuck your pain. I'm making these jokes. I'm trying to be funny. Yeah, I couldn't see it growing up, but I'm realizing that everything I just said about my chosen family is people who give a fuck. Long story short, that's it. All right. 1 hour, 14 minutes. Okay, that's it. Okay, this concludes today's episode of Shut Up Podcast. Hope you enjoyed listening to it as much as I enjoyed recording it. Yeah, you know what? And in a way, I'm also grateful for your patience for allowing me to get these thoughts out. Again, a lot of this shit is all scrambled. Initially, when I start the episode, I have no idea where it's going. It's only after that I'm like, oh, okay. And who knows? I'll probably make a sequel saying, okay, this is what I was trying to say on the last episode. But no, I stick to it. Except, yeah, what Sister Soldier said. Something that Sister Soldier said. And it just reminded me of how we're all in this together. And that's all we got. That's all we got. Like CMB, Am I My Brother's Keeper? Or Cash Money. Was it CMB? We all we got. Can I find that? CMB, We All We Got? Hold on a second. CM Cash Money Brothers, We All We Got. Am I My Brother's Keeper? There we go. Oh, shit.
Man, we all we got.
All right, gang. This thing tries to play. All right, okay, this concludes today's episode. Hope you enjoyed it as usual. You know the deal. If you want to find me, go to shutuppodcast.com. You can, put in your details in there. Hey, don't be surprised if the website changes because I'm in the middle of making some, you know what? You'll see it. At some point, I'll explain myself. But I'm making some changes. Some changes are going on. And when it's done, you'll understand. But with that said, if you want to talk to me in a traditional manner on the internet, you can email me at shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. One more time, shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. Sorry, I was like, grab a pen and pencil. Fuck, I'm old. Oh, man, I remember the old days where, like, grab a pen and pencil and you can contact us at P.O. Box, whatever. Yeah, shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. Thank you for listening. As always, remember, please be kind to your favorite podcast. All right. Peace.
I am your king.